As with many times in the scriptures, there's something more going on than just what we hear in the gospel passage or the scriptures. We hear that Jesus is in the Samaritan territory. And centuries before Jesus was even born, there were those who were Jews who married with the pagans, and they intermingled their customs and their culture and their religious practices. And so then the Jews then became, to them, they would have become traitors. They had abandoned their faith, they abandoned their traditions to intermingle with the pagans. So a devout Jew would never have anything to do with a Samaritan people. And a devout Jew would never speak to a woman unless she was a member of his family. And here Jesus is in Samaritan territory, talking to a woman, asking for a drink of water. He's going to use this to be able to break into her life and to bring that life-giving water that she so much needs. The woman is at the well at noon. Most people would go much earlier in the day when the water table is much higher. But she comes later in the day when nobody's around. So there's no gossip. She's a woman from the red light zone, as you were. She's a lady who has had several men in her life, and she doesn't want to be around the people who might be pointing fingers at her, accusing her, speaking ill of her. The woman is coming to the well not only for the physical water, but in her life, she's thirsting. She's thirsting for love, true love. She's looking for acceptance, for a way to live a life that's honorable, and she's thirsting. Jesus promises to bring her living water. Living water is more like flowing water, like a stream, not like a pond where it's stagnant, but that living water is fresh and clean and pure. And he's willing to give her this so that she can come to know him in spirit and in truth. St. Teresa of Calcutta, in all of her convent chapels, next to the crucifix in their chapel, has the words painted, "I thirst." It's not only to recall one of the last seven phrases our Jesus speaks from the cross, but it's the way that Jesus wants of us. He thirsts for us. He wants us to be a part of his life, and he wants to be a part of our lives. Can you imagine the God who created heaven and earth, who has no need for anything, still has a thirst for each one of us? He has such a love for us that he wants us to come to him so that we who are thirsty can find a quenching refreshment, that what is lacking in our own lives, he himself is more than willing to respond to. When we recognize Jesus as truth, that what he offers us isn't just something passing, but offers us his very self, the truth of the word, it can change our lives forever. We find that what we are looking for is met in Christ. We no longer have to run from this to that or this person to that person. Jesus is enough. And when we find him, even though there's challenges in our own lives, we can find that sense of peace because Christ is with us. St. Augustine once said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you," meaning that until we recognize it is Christ who we need and want, we're always going to be unsatisfied. But once we can place ourselves into his hands, things make sense. It comes together. We desire much in our lives, and we do look around for many things to satisfy those thirsts. But to find our hearts in the heart of Christ, there we know we have found ourselves. The woman learned that from Christ that he was the truth. And she leaves her water jar at the well, symbolizing the old way is no more. She has found the new life-giving water. And she goes out and brings that good news to those around her in her town and brings them to Christ, who then are converted and brought to that life-giving water. In these Lenten days, as we examine our lives, our words, our actions, what are we still looking for? What do we still thirst in our own lives? And if we allow Christ to enter more fully during these days, we find that refreshment for ourselves and draw closer to Him. And in drawing closer to Him, we witness to that life-giving stream to others, who then can come to Christ Himself. And if we find Christ as our answer, and Christ wants us to be a part of our lives, then it becomes a win-win situation for both. These are quite unusual days. They're very unique in the life of the world, not in the life of the world. We've had plagues and other things before, but I think this is a one time where the church is making some very drastic changes. And there's some times that it can be rather scary and confusing. And I think this is the time where we have to go to Christ and say, okay, I'll do what I can, but you got to take over. And taking care of ourselves is one of those things we can do. So please be careful. Wash your hands, cover your mouth when you sneeze and cough, not only out of good hygiene, but out of politeness and courteous to other people, to be careful where you are associating, just to make sure that you're kept safe. Yesterday, Friday, we closed down the seminary, so no outsiders can come in. And yesterday, all the seminarians and priests were scrubbing banisters, doorknobs, tables, chairs, everything that has a surface where somebody could be touching. We did it all. So we're all trying to be cautious to take good care of ourselves. But, you know, this might be a time where God's going to be touching hearts, where maybe people will say, well, maybe I do need God more in my life, that I can't control everything, not even health. And so, Lord, you take care of me. And I think pray for each other, pray for those who are sick and suffering, and pray for ourselves, that we can be turning ourselves more completely over to Christ.